Hold on, let me just see. Nine things, but I don't know if I'll get through the nine things, so I'll tell you how many things there are at the end, if we count, okay? And we'll just see which ones we do, okay? But the first one, if you've got your Bible, if you would turn to, let me see, Mark 5. These are things about Christmas, because this is a Christmas message. So it's a Christmas, some things that would just, I think, would help people going into Christmas. I think my thoughts as going to Christmas is that although I'm going to relax and enjoy the summer season for all the hard work for the year, I actually think it's one of the most significant times for people spiritually. Amen. And I believe God really wants to speak to people over this summer period. And so my big encouragement is don't go into hibernation on your spiritual journey. In fact, with the time, with the spare time you might have, prioritize some time with God. Prioritize just hearing from God. Prioritize saying, God, what do you want me to do for 2018? Prioritize time with God. Make the most, you know, if you're on holiday, I'd be saying, mate, there is no excuse for not being able to have half an hour in the presence of God every day. And make it a priority. And I know if you seek after God, you will have more answers than you've ever had. You'll have the best 2018 as you set it up with God. Let me read this. So this is faith. Mark 5:35. While he was still speaking to her, messages arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Don't be afraid, just believe. The picture here is that Jesus has been asked by Jairus to come and heal his daughter. And if you go on a bit to the background of Jairus, he was a teacher in the synagogue, or a leader in the synagogue, and it was probably quite out of the character for him to have come and talked to Jesus, because, as you know, the Pharisees were pretty anti-Jesus. And he would have heard a lot of stories about good and bad things about Jesus. But when it came to the fact that his daughter needed a healing, needed something to happen, he put aside all the biases, all the things that he thought, and thought, if this is an answer for my daughter, I'm going to go after it. So he's come and asked Jesus, can you come and heal my daughter? And so they're walking along. And in the moment while they're walking along, Jesus gets distracted because a lady reaches out and touches her, and he feels the power go out of him. And basically, you know, Jesus starts ministering to this lady. Yeah. And while that's happening, Jairus is standing here just watching that. And in the distance, he suddenly sees walking towards him his own servants. And I guarantee that he could have told by the look on their face that this was not good news. Yeah. And Jesus feels like he's miles away, distracted, and he suddenly sees coming towards him these servants who say to him, don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. It's finished. It's over. Why are you still holding on? You need to get on with the burial of your daughter. And so, you know, suddenly there's a, I don't know if you can think of some bad news, perhaps don't think of some bad news that you had, but that feeling, that sinking feeling of, oh no, that, you know, it just, sometimes it just paralyzes you, it just hits you. That's what he would have experienced. And suddenly here's Jesus back again. And his words are, don't worry, only believe.
Yeah.
Don't fear, don't be afraid. Don't just have faith. Faith is so important. I think the biggest key that the enemy wants to do in your life, my life, is he wants to erode your faith.
Wow. Right.
Faith shows, in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. The NIV puts it this, now faith is confident in what we hope for. Jesus says, only believe. He says, look, be confident in what you hope for. And now, I don't know what you're hoping for, what you're believing, but I go, be Be confident in that. Even if it seems like the message that's coming towards you is, hey, it's over. It's no good. It's finished. That's dead. Yes. It's no good worrying about that. That's not necessary. It's not true, because Jesus brings to life. And I feel that for some of you, that's in some of your dreams. Some of your dreams and desires, you've gone, nah, they're dead. Someone's come along. Oh, look, don't think about that anymore. Don't worry about that anymore. That's gone. And Jesus stands beside you and goes, come on. Only believe.
So good.
Only believe.
Yes.
Only believe. When you begin to lose confidence that things could ever change, when your confidence is eroded, when suddenly you're thinking it can't change, it won't change, as soon as you start believing it, that is the road you will go down.
Yeah.
You've got to believe that God can do something in your situation. You've got to keep holding on to God, going, God, I believe, I believe. There's a similar story of a man whose son kept throwing himself in the fire and kept having these fits and things like that. And he brings his son to the disciples. And it probably was a whole lot of courage for him to bring them. And here he is hoping, man, I'm hoping this is going to work. I'm bringing them to the disciples. The disciples then find that they can't heal the child. And I think, you know, I see this guy going on this roller coaster. Oh, really believing. Here we go. We're going to get the answer. We've all been through those things. Here it is. It's going to answer. And then, oh, no. It just didn't work. They couldn't do it. And he's now discouraged. And Jesus walks onto the scene. And he says this thing. Come on, you've got to believe. And he says, I want to believe, but help my unbelief.
Right.
Our unbelief is this thing within us that means we go, man, I want to believe that God can change the situation. I want to believe that God's going to come into this place, but there is that tinge of unbelief. And I feel that the enemy tries to use unbelief all the time.
Yeah.
There's people here this morning, you've been believing for something, and in the physical and in the natural, circumstances have changed and you're going, man, I don't know whether this is going to happen. But you can't look at the natural.
Right.
You can't look at the the physical. You've got to look at the spiritual. Has God given you a promise? Has God put something in your heart? Only believe. Only believe.
Yeah.
Hold on in faith.
Yeah.
Hold on in faith. Again, faith is the substance. Faith is a substance.
Yeah, that's right.
Faith in God is a substance of something hoped for. It's evidence of things not seen. It is a tangible thing. And I think a lot of times we live life without faith. The enemy doesn't want you to live by faith. He just wants you to live by what you can know and what you see. But if you only know and what you see, you'll only do what you can do. But you got to go, I got to believe in faith. I got to believe in faith. So I want to pray for people. As I go through, I'm going to do another one in a minute, but I'm going to come back to it. If you go, that's me. I've let some things get in, and they've eroded my faith. They've things that have happened that have suddenly stopped me. That I'm just not believing that God can work in this situation. I really feel we need to pray for that.
Yeah.
The second thing, and I just sort of started a little bit with it over Christmas. I really feel we need to have a thirst for a closer relationship with God. Isaiah 6:1. Let me read you this. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I don't know a lot about King Uzziah, but if you go read about King Uzziah, he was mostly a very good king. When you compare him with a lot of the other kings, he was very good. But he got to a stage where he felt that he could, I suppose, in pride, do whatever he liked. And one of the things he went in and did was he burnt incense on the altar of God, which was only to be done by the priests, those in the right line. So what happened to him is that he really just thought that he could do whatever he was like. He was king, and he thought he would do this thing and burn incense. The priest came and confronted him. And in the end, He got leprosy. He had to leave completely the presence of God. Wasn't even allowed anymore into the temple of God. Now here's the thing. This is Isaiah talking. And he said, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And this is what I felt. Some of us have done some things that we think mean that we cannot go into the presence of God.
Wow.
And whenever we're entering in to get closer to God, suddenly this thing comes. You did this. You're not worthy. This happened to you. You can't enter the presence of God. Or as we walk in, we just feel this cloud. Right. And it just weighs on us and we're thinking, I can't break through. Or we stand and we're going, I want to hear from God, but the it seems like brass. I just can't get through.
Yeah.
And here's the word of the Lord that is died. It's gone. God, if you go to God and go, God, forgive me, that's gone. It's over. It's not reminded. Here's what happened to Uzziah. When he suddenly realized that King Uzziah had died, once he'd died, now he could see the Lord. Now he could see the Lord. If you want to see the Lord, if you want to be closer to his presence, you've got to let some of this past stuff die.
Right.
So good.
It's forgiven. It's
yes.
gone.
Yes.
When you come into the presence of God and you say, God, I ask for your forgiveness. I made a mistake there. Maybe you'd had pride. Maybe you did something. Maybe you didn't do something you should have done. Whatever it is, you've got to say, God, it's forgiven.
Right.
And you stand before God as worthy as anyone else, because it's not in our own worthiness, it's in his. And you can receive, you can stand in his presence. The enemy keeps trying to tell you, no, that thing's stopping you. But it's dead. And I believe you're going to step through and you're going to see the Lord.
Come on.
So good.
It was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. All this time, Uzziah wasn't able to see the Lord. But when he accepted that this is dead, it's a new day, it's a new era, it's a new timing, it's a new time in our kingdom.
Yes.
I believe for our church, it's a
yes.
new time. And so suddenly he begins to hear the messages from God, he begins to see God. And so if any of those first two, and we're just going to spend a bit of time praying for them, and maybe Janita, are you happy to play a little bit on the keyboard, let the anointing come? Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. If God's spoken to you, maybe there's something that's tried to steal your faith, or maybe it's something to do with you just feel there's something in your past that the enemy keeps reminding you of. Even if you think, no, I've sort of done it, why don't you just take a moment to go, God, I'm going to step out and just accept and take a physical step of going, God, I want to move into a fresh area in you. If that's you, why don't you just come and just stand out here and we're just going to spend a little bit of time just praying. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Five people, I just know you need to move. Something the enemy will try to use, what people think, I've got a whole lot of things here, and I know, I really know quite strongly that they're messages for people. I keep getting a picture of somebody, and you've got, it's like you've got this big backpack on your back, and you seem to have to carry it everywhere, everything that seems harder than what it should be for you. It just seems harder. And you're thinking, man, it didn't used to be like that, but it just seems harder. And it's you're carrying this past. The enemy keeps revisiting the past to you, going, mate, this is the thing. And it's weighing you down. You just need to be set free of it. Holy Spirit. Why don't you just begin to pray? Why don't you pick someone out here and just begin to pray for them? You might not know them, but you can pray in the Holy Spirit. Just begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Lord, let your presence flow. While they're praying for them, why don't you pray for the person next to you? If you don't know them, just introduce yourself. Why don't you just begin to pray for them? Pray for them for fresh faith. Pray for them for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Just begin to pray. They need your prayers. Church isn't about just sitting and enjoying. That's a good part, but it's been active. God's trying to speak to you.
Yes.
All the time he's speaking to people. All the time he's trying to speak to people. I mean, God's got unlimited things to say about you and to you. Unlimited. They just keep coming and coming. And you know, sometimes we've just got to tap into it. Do you know there's no coincidence you're sitting by the people you're sitting by this morning? And every one of us can tap into what God's saying. Every one of us, if we want to. So even just as you're sitting here today and I just talk, because it's pretty relaxed, we'll see how many we get through, but I just want the Holy Spirit to speak to people. And you may have the message for that person next to you. And it may be one word that you're going, man, that word keeps going around in my head. That one word could be what they're wanting to hear, what will unlock the things,
yes,
in their lives.
Yes.
So just listening for it. At the same time, God can give you one word for yourself. I often prophesy of myself. It's a good practice. Why don't you just take a moment, see if God gives you a word for the person next to you. They could be in front of you, they could be behind you. That it doesn't have to work, just, and maybe even someone across the room. And if you do, I'll just write it down, and in a few minutes or towards the end, come across and go talk to that person. But just ask God, what do you want? What are you wanting to say through me today? What are you wanting to say through me? Just got a word for somebody that's not even here, why don't you just text it to them right now? You go, I know you know that I'm in church and I shouldn't be texting, but God just gave me this word for you. It's the only time you can use your phone to text that's fine. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Have only done two, so we'll do number three, eh? We've got time. We'll watch the time. Proverbs 13 verse 10 says this: pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. In Genesis 13:8 it says this: finally Abraham said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we're close relatives. You know, as we come into Christmas, there's a lot of people who actually don't like Christmas because they know there's going to be some conflict. They go, I don't want to hit Christmas because that uncle of mine that I don't get on very well with, he's going to be there, or that in-law that's just going to happen to turn, or that, can I say the mother-in-law? Maybe it's the father-in-law. But when we... Rocky, you laughed far too loud then. Far too loud. But you know, Christmas sometimes for a lot of people is really high stress. And I just really felt just to say, hey, go in with a different expectation this year.
Come on.
Because yeah. I think you're going to bring healing into that situation.
Yes.
Rather than going in thinking, oh no, here it comes again. Going in with faith, going, man, this is going to be our best one ever.
Yes.
This is going to be incredible. I'm going to bring healing into the situation. You see, for a lot of us, you know, when we're under pressure, when we're under tension, when things aren't going our way, that's when suddenly we react. Just as a test to see whether everybody's honest this morning, how many people have reacted wrongly in the last year? Come on. Okay. Here's my little bit of advice as you go into Christmas, because I think we'll all face a moment where something will happen or something will go wrong or something will happen and it'll be a test. And this is what I want you to get in your head. When that suddenly happens, that suddenly this drops into your head. Okay?
Yeah.
What do you do if there's a fire?
Drop.
Stop. Drop, roll. Is that right? There's yeah. Come kids here that can tell me. Is that what you do?
Stop, drop, roll.
Stop, drop, roll. If you're on fire. It's never happened to me before, but here's what I think you've got to do. When you will, at some stage in the next month, suddenly faced with a conflict, and what you've got to do is stop and just take a moment.
Yeah.
If you can put a pause between your reaction,
yes.
You get this opportunity to change the direction.
Wow. That's good.
You get this moment in time where you can go, God, help me here, help me. And we all need that pause.
Yes.
That moment when we let it go. You see, what happens for a lot of us and why we end up having arguments is that we're in a habit.
Right.
And the habit is that we just react. And
yeah, that's true.
Let me be honest. If you ever been in an argument with your spouse or your wife, and maybe you're all too holy for this, but you're in an argument, and about halfway through it, you realize you've got no idea what you're arguing about. You got no. It's this reaction, you know. They said this, you say this, and suddenly it's like there's this track that you go down. It's a scary track, and you react the way you do. Do you know the only way to change that is to change one of your reactions? And it only needs one person to do it. And a lot of times we sit there, and you'll be sitting there going, exactly what I do. Yeah, well, she should do it. She should change, not me. But you see, this is where pride comes in.
That's right.
You gotta humble yourself.
Yeah.
Take a moment, stop, and say, I'm gonna respond the right way.
Yeah.
I'm gonna respond the way Jesus would.
Yeah,
it's not a matter of whether they do, it's just a matter of whether you do. And if you take that moment, and you know the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Or a yep, I'm gonna do that. But just saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Because a lot of times the things that we argue are really, they're not worth dying on that hill over,
yeah,
are they?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we do, but they're just not worth it. Just let it go. Just let it go. When you're in that conflict situation, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to take that moment. And I can guarantee to you that the Holy Spirit will come into that area and you'll end up going on a different path. If it's you know, I got the picture of parents with their kids or kids with their parents, and every year you've had an argument for the last 3 or 4 years or a conflict, and you change the response. You see it coming. You go, man, I can see this coming. I'm going to change this. You apologize. You just say, I'm sorry. I overreacted, mate. I want to be close to you. I want to, and I guarantee you, you'll bring the Holy Spirit into that situation,
yeah, so
and you'll
good.
Get a different response from there. Don't let pride rob you.
Yes.
Don't let the enemy rob you. So no Christmas conflicts this year, okay? Number four. Confidence. Hebrews 10:35 says, don't throw away your confidence. I just sense that some people, you've got the call of God on your life.
Yes.
Yet you've thrown away your confidence in that call. And that's not necessarily being full-time, but there is a call that God put on you and you've thrown away your confidence on it. Let me read you Hebrews 10, verse 32, and it says this, remember those earlier days, after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. I just, when I got this word, I just felt it was people that, when they look back, they thought, oh, the best times of my ministry are behind me. They're in the past. And it's not true. It's not true.
That's right.
The best part is yet to come.
Right.
The best part on you is yet to come. It's in the future. And it doesn't matter how old you are. That's got nothing to do with it whatsoever. You can possess your promise at 70, 80, 90. Don't keep... The enemy is trying to rob people and make them think it's the past. And this is the people that I feel to pray for this morning. If you've been in some sort of full-time ministry at some stage in your life, can we just pray for you this morning? Just come and just stand up. If you've been in full-time ministry of some sort... At some stage, you may have been in a church, it may have been a ministry or something like that. Just come and stand out. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a step forward. We have some people just come and stand behind us. If you're part of this church, why don't you come and stand? We want to make sure everyone's got someone standing behind them. If you come here regularly, just stand behind them. Let's just begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for each one here. And Lord, I thank you that the best is yet to come. In fact, the most significant things that each one of these people will do is yet to come. And it may not look the same as they always thought, but the people that they will impact and the lives that they would speak into are significant. They're important. What you do is important. That call is important. That call has never gone, never left. It might have changed. It might be a different season, but that anointing is on. Father, I pray for an increase of your power, your wisdom, your insight. Holy Spirit, I just come against every word that has been spoken against these guys. Every word that has been sent like an arrow into their back and tried to cripple them and tried to stop them being what you've called them to be, Father. And Lord, I pray right now a fresh sense of intestinal fortitude, of strength, and of power would just fill their spirit. Lord, that in their spirit, Father, Lord, they would be like Caleb of old, that he would say, give me my mountain, give me my mountain, give me my mountain. Father, I pray for a fresh authority in their prayer. Father, they've done the test of time. Lord, I pray that there would be a confidence in their praying for people and laying hands on people and ministering to people. Lord, that there would be a power and authority over them, Father. Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray you just open up the future to them. That Lord, they would see afresh what you've called them to. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Why don't you just reach your hand and just begin to pray for these people? Just begin to pray. They need your prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, fresh anointing, power, Holy Spirit. Oh God. Nana Masiri Aradiyara Basiri, fresh life. Holy Spirit. Lamama Mashiri. Out of pain, God's going to birth fresh life, incredible life. Life would flow from your tongue, from your words. Don't underestimate the power of your words, Holy Spirit. Oh God, Father, I thank you for the authority. I just see you having real authority in your prayer life. And it's like you're directing things and putting them in different places because there's an authority in your prayer life. Some things you see and you go away and you pray for them, you come back and you see, well, that's changed, that's good, that's what I need. You need it to happen there. There's an authority in the Holy Spirit. Oh God, Father, a fresh anointing. Fresh life. Fresh life. Power. Holy Spirit. I just get a picture of the enemy trying to take your legs out. Just trying to take your legs out. Have a message. God's given you a message. In fact, I see the runners that would run with a message. God's given you a message, but something, and this the enemy has tried to stop you from running with that message. But that message is still strong, and that message will flow. Holy Spirit, in fact, it's probably more than one message. You have a message. You have news to bring. Holy Spirit, I pray for a strengthening of the legs that my brother would run with a freshness in life, more speed and agility than he's ever run in his life. Lord, I pray for energy to flow into them, Father. Strength and energy. Holy Spirit, you're not weak, you're not tired. In fact, I just see you coming into a real freshness. God's going to make. Thank you for just patiently waiting there. Can you feel the presence of God?
No.
When you and I just let go of stuff, I think the presence of God just comes. I've got about five things here that we're not going to get to because I've only got 1 minute left, I think. I do want us to pray for healing. Need healing in any area, then I want you to come. You're not coming to me or to someone, you're coming to God. In Mark 1:40, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I'm willing," he said, "be healed." I don't believe God responds to need, because there's a whole lot of need in our world.
That's right.
I think God responds to hunger and us stepping out and going, "God, I need you." It's not until we go after God. God's wanting to meet every single need. There's no doubt in my mind of that. But just need in itself doesn't mean that God's going to respond to it.
Right.
It's something in us that we go, "God, I realize I need you," and we make a response. We step out in faith. God's wanting to move all the time, but God will only move once we move. You look right through the Bible. God always asks the person to do something. Moses, lift up your staff. You know, all of them, you look through, it's just amazing. They had to do something.
Yeah.
You know, Naaman had to go dip 7 times. There was something he had to do. And I think it's still the same today. The reason this guy got healed is he went, I've got to get to Jesus.
Right.
And you know, in our society, we've become very much, I'll just sit and wait for it. But I just don't think that's it. I think we've got to go after it. So if you need healing, then I want you to just come. As you're coming after it from God, going, "God, I need this." You might have been up 100 times, but you come again going, "God, I need healing. I need you to touch me." You're coming to Him, not to me or to someone else. So if you need healing, why don't you quickly come? More seconds if you need to move for healing. Okay, if you've got faith, why don't you come and pray for someone here? Come and lay hands on them. If you've got faith. If you're part of the church again, just come and pray. Let's just pray for God's healing. We're going to take 2 minutes doing this, and then it's back to Pastor Rocky. Holy Spirit, Father, I pray fresh life. Lord, I pray healing would flow. Lord, I pray faith would flow. I know this may sound tough, but I think you've got to speak life over yourself. In fact, I even put out a challenge for you that over the next week not to say anything negative.